This morning's Shir in Yeshayahu is dedicated to the memory of Levi Yitzchak ben Elimelech, the father of Elimelech Richman, father-in-law of Mrs. Richman, Zol Hoven Alichtigen Gan Eden. I know where we left off before Pesach. We left off before Pesach in chapter 52. Chapter 52 is the famous chapter of the Eved Hashem, the suffering servant of God. I'm not going to learn that today. What am I going to do today? I really want to do chapter 66, which is the last chapter of Yeshayahu. Why do I want to do chapter 66? I want to do chapter Samach Vav, because chapter Samach Vav is the Haftorah for Shabbos Rosh Chodesh. This coming Shabbos is Rosh Chodesh. It's the Haftorah that we're going to read, and on every Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, it's the last chapter of Yeshayahu that is read. It's a magnificent, magnificent chapter. Most probably, I would say the same thing about any other chapter in Yeshayahu. So take me seriously when I say that. However, to fully understand, or at least get the drift of chapter 66, we have to start in the middle of chapter 65. To learn a number of amazing, amazing psukim. Yeah, now, I'm not going to say, well, to understand 65, we have to go back into 64. There has to be a cutoff. There has to be a red line. The red line is chapter 65, Pasuk 17, Yud Zayin. And you will see how this is going to lead us into chapter 66. And then, of course, we will have to see why chapter 66 is the Haftorah for Shabbos Rosh Chodesh. I also have another need that I must share with you. Once, you know, about half the year or more is over, I get this terrible need to cover ground, you understand? So you can say at least that you learned 30 chapters in Yeshayahu. So fasten your safety belts and hold your breath, and we're going. Ki hinini borei shamayim chadashim ve'eretz chadasha. God says, I am going to create a new heaven and a new earth. V'lo tizachar naharishonot, you will no longer remember that which happened at the very beginning. V'lo ta'alena alev, not only you won't remember it, it will not even occur to you, it will not come upon your heart, so to speak. In other words, the tzores and the agony and the suffering of many millennia will simply cease to exist when this new heaven and this new earth is going to be created by God. Obviously, you already get the point that we're talking about something that is chodesh, something new, chodesh, rosh chodesh, something very, very new. Ki im sisu vigilu adead. You know what life is going to be like, and obviously what he is describing is a messianic period in time. There will be joy and jubilation adead forever. You will recall, and we're going to have to deal with this again, and the Malbim himself is going to repeat it a number of times between now and the end of Yeshayahu. Very simply put, Simcha we described long time ago as a sense of inner contentment and happiness. Gil is a happiness that bursts out externally, ecstasy of joy. Sason or Sisu represents that which a person does when he is in a state of gila, singing, dancing, putting on yontif clothing, he always mentions that at the moment, putting on yontif clothing, all of the outer trappings of gil. So if you really want it, it's the following. Simcha is inner, that sense of true peace of mind and contentment. That's simcha. Person can be in great simcha and nobody's going to know the difference. It's something so within the person. somebody who's in a state of gil, oh, you will know it. You will know it. Because it's going to express itself in all sorts of ways that are called sason. Now, there's one thing that separates sason and gil on the one hand from simcha. And that is, simcha is something that one achieves after a tremendous amount of effort, and it will therefore remain for a period of time. Sason and gil, how long can you be in a state of ecstatic joy? You know, we can be in a state of ecstatic joy at least for a few minutes. How long? You know, simcha, get our tongues out. But do you understand when it says, Sisu vegilu ade ad, an eternal, ongoing sason and gil, we are talking about an exceptional period in history. Asher ani borei, I created. And I think it's extremely significant that the word borei is used. There are two words for creation. Bereshit bara Elokim, in the beginning God created. And then it also says, Vayitzer Hashem Elokim, God formed man min ha-adama, from the earth. What's the difference between borei and yotzer? Difference between borei and yotzer, borei there's only one. Because borei means to create something from absolute nothing, and only God can do that. Vayitzer means taking raw materials and giving form and shape to raw materials. Anybody can do that. To bring about a state of eternal sason and gil, that is a creation of something out of nothing that only God himself can do. No man is capable of doing that. Asher ani borei. Ki, where is this great expression of sason and gil are going to be? I get a chill going down my spine. Ki hinini et borei et Yerushalayim, because I create Yerushalayim. Gila, Yerushalayim is going to be a source of ecstatic joy. Va'ama masos, who is going to be the if masos, if sason is the outer expression of great joy and jubilation, and as we said, sason would express itself in a human being, and how sason expresses itself by beautiful clothing, yontif clothing, by singing, by dancing. Do you know what the sason of Yerushalayim is? Ama, that Klal Yisrael is in Yerushalayim. That's the sason. That's which clothes Yerushalayim with great joy. Yes? Sorrow. Yerushalayim appears in Tanakh 565 times. I know what you're asking. You're asking, why over here do I know? Nobody has ever explained the five times that Yerushalayim appears in Tanakh, out of about 550. There are five times that it appears with a Yud, so why it doesn't appear why it appears here without a Yud? It's a great question. And do you know who will answer that question? Mashiach Tzidkenu, you're going to line up. And you're going to wait online. Yeah, well, you wait online, and then when it finally comes your turn, you're going to ask them, why isn't Yerushalayim spelled with a Yud? I don't know. Nobody did. Because I'll tell you. Because I studied, you're right. Because I studied and I tried to figure out the places where Yerushalayim is spelled with a Yud. I can't. It's beyond me. Amarti echkom, I thought I was wise. It's just too distant for me. Vigalti b'Yerushalayim v'sasti v'ami. Do you hear how God speaks? I will be full of joy with Yerushalayim, and my sason is going to come as a result of my people. In other words, God, the people of Israel, are going to be the sason, the outer expression of the joy of Yerushalayim and the joy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Vigalti b'Yerushalayim v'sasti v'ami. V'lo yishama ba'od, you will no longer hear in Yerushalayim kol b'chi v'kol za'aka. You will no longer hear in Yerushalayim the sound of weeping or the sound of crying out to God. B'chi is usually after the fact. A tragedy, a death, after the fact comes b'chi. Za'aka is always before the fact in order to make certain that it doesn't happen. You cry out to God in advance, Rabbeinu Shel Olam, Hav Rachmanis, have mercy upon us. There will no longer be the sound of b'chi or the sound of za'aka. Lo yiyeh misham od ul yomim v'zokein asher lo yimaleh et yamav. This is unbelievable. There will no longer be there anymore ul yamim. Ul yamim means somebody who's very young in years. A child is called an oleil. Me oleil v'ad yonek oleil. Oleil is a young child. Nor will there be an elderly person, Ashelo Yemale et Yamav, who will not fulfill the number of his years. Ki Hanar, do you know what's going to be called dying young? Hanar ben Meo Shono Yamos. 100 years is going to be a younger mensch. That's going to be a young person. Vahachote, and even the sinner, ben Meo Shonim Yekalel, Yekulo. He will be cursed from age 100, because he will not be considered ready for punishment until 100 years of age. Obviously, we are talking about that great and unusual period in Jewish history, Yemot HaMashiach. Uvan uvotim v'yoshavu. They will build houses and they will live in them. V'not uchramim, and they will plant vineyards. V'achlu piryam, and they will eat the fruit of the vineyards. Not always did Jews build and then indeed live where they built or ate from what they planted. Lo yivnu, they're not going to build. V'acher yeshev, and somebody else is going to settle there. Lo yitu, they're no longer going to plant. V'acher yoshel, and somebody else is going to eat it. Ki yimei ha'eitz, yimei ani. The days of my people will be like the days of a tree. Trees, we're talking about the redwoods. We're talking about the trees of sheshis yimei bereshis. U'maseh yedehem yevalu b'chidai. This is beautiful. Maseh yedehem yevalu b'chidai. My chosen ones will outlive that which they create. You know, that doesn't mean a person can plant a tree and the tree outlives the man, right? But here it's going to be that Masa Yadayim, that which they do with their hands, will outlive the ones who made it will outlive. Yevalu means something that becomes used up or worn out. My chosen ones will wear out that which they made. We're not talking about, I didn't use an example of a car, because cars are part of planned obsolescence, you understand? They're made in such a way, most probably I'm sure that they can make a car that will outlive a human being, but then nobody's going to make money. So you make cars that people outlive 10 cars during their lifetime, right? But here, Masa Yedehem, we're talking about real, the work of their hands, my chosen ones will wear them out. And lo yigu l'rik, they will not toil for naught. How many times do we do things and put in tremendous amount of effort, and all of the effort turns out ultimately to have been wasted? A lifetime can go by and one turns around and... Never. Lo yigu l'arik, they will not toil for nothing. Lo yeldu la'beholah, and they will not give birth to something that will ultimately turn into nothing. In other words, children will not die in the lifetime of their parents. Ki zera b'ruchei Hashem heino, because they are children who are the blessed ones of God. V'tzetzaehem itam, their children will be with them. Parents and children together. V'ha'yon, it will come to be, this is a magnificent pasuk, Tedem yikro, even before they call unto me, va'ani e'eneh, I will answer them. Od heim medabrim, while they are yet speaking, they're in the middle of talking, they haven't said everything that's on their mind. Vani eshma, I am going to hear it. Then, of course, certainly one of the greatest psukim in Tanakh, and it's worthwhile just to have read it to this, Eiv v'toleh. What is it? That's the fox and the, the wolf and the lamb. The wolf and the lamb. The Eiv v'toleh yiru ke'echad. The wolf and the lamb will graze like one together. V'aryeh, and the lion kabokar, like cattle, yochal teven, he will eat the straw, hay. That's right, he'll become a vegetarian. Afinskizuk. I think Rav Kook says that we will ultimately return to being vegetarians. We'll ultimately be vegetarians. It'll certainly be very good for us. There's no question about that. Be very good for us. The nochosh offer lachmo, the snake. No, we will be like the snake that offer lachmo, his bread is the dust of the earth. So Rashi says, Harei offer lachmo, his bread is dust, motzi lo todes, so he always has it. He doesn't have to go to the makolet. It's always there and it's available. Yeah, but you know, the curse can turn into a blessing. You know, it's Sachazal say over there, why was it the curse that the Nachash, why was the Nachash cursed that he should eat from the bread of the ground? So that he should never have to turn to God to pray for food. Let him have it, and but in other words, let him have his offer. I don't want to hear from him anymore. But over here, it's on the contrary. It is the blessing of great abundance. Everything will be available to man. Lo yoreyu v'lo yashchisu. There will be no evil nor destruction. B'chol har kodshi, on my holy mountain. Amar Hashem, so says God. Now there's one more Rashi I want to learn over here. Rashi says, Medrash HaGadol, the Medrash HaGadol says, Va'aryeh kabokor, Yochal Teven, the lion, just like cattle, is going to eat straw. Because we find that Esav is going to fall into the hands of the children of Yosef. Gemara says that Esav, Amalek, will ultimately fall into the hands of the children of Yosef, and that was true throughout all of history. Who was the first one that waged war with Amalek? That was Yahushua, the children of Rachel. And Yahushua bin Nun was from the tribe of Binyamin, who comes from Rachel. Who was the next one that waged war with Amalek? That was Shaul. Shaul was from the tribe of Binyamin, from the children of Rachel. Who is the next one that wages war with Amalek? Mordechai HaYehudi, who was Ishimini, from the tribe of Binyamin. So in one place the Gemara says that Amalek will always fall into the hands of the children of Rachel. He can specifically fall into the hands of Yosef as well, because that's a pasuk at the end of Sefer Ovadia, that Bahoya Beis Esav Lakash, the house of Esav is going to be straw. Ubeis Yosef, and the house of Yosef is going to be Lahava, great flame, and the flame of Esav is going to consume, the flame of Yosef is going to consume, Esav. So he says, since we find that Esav falls into the hands of Yosef, as it says, Beis Esav Lakash and Beit Yosef Lahava, Aval Biyad B'nei Shara Shotim Shemim Shulu L'chayot Lo Matzinu. But we don't find any place in Tanakh that Esav can fall into the hands of any of the other tribes. And to what are the tribes likened by both Yaakov and Moshe? They are likened to the beasts of the field. So he says, Lakach nema va'arye kabokor yochal teven. The teven is Esav, is Amalek, just as Esav is called Kash in Sefer Ovadia. Who's going to eat? Who's going to destroy the teven? Aryeh. Who is Aryeh? Aryeh are those tribes that are described as Aryeh. Otam hashvatim shenimshal ka'aryeh kigon Yehuda v'dan ki Yosef shenimshal kishor yochlu oto shenimshal ketevet. Beautiful how Rashi brings the Chazal. V'aryeh ka'bokar yochal teven. Aryeh is Yehuda and Don. Don Gur Aryeh Yizanek Minha Bashan. Don is the young lion that comes out of the Bashan. Yehuda is Korah Ravatz Kali Ekelavi and something or other Mi Kimenu. Don and Yehuda are likened unto lions. What is the metaphor that is used for Yosef? What is Yosef? Bechor Shor Hodolo. He is a cattle. The Aryeh Kabokar Yochal Teben. You know what you have to do over here? Aryeh is Yehuda and Don, just substitute. Yehuda and Don will be Kabokar, like Yosef. Yochal Teben, who will consume and destroy the hay, which means throughout history, the only one who will destroy Esav is Yosef. But toward the end of history, Yehuda and Dan will join Yosef. Aryeh Kabokar Yochal Teven. Gorgeous. Beautiful, beautiful Maimon Chazal. Now begins the Haftorah for Shabbos Rosh Chodesh. Kor Hashem, so says God, Hashemayim Kisi, the heavens are my throne, Vaharetz Hadom Raglai, and the earth is the, wait a minute, I forget, okay, we don't have to wait for the Haftorah of Yom Kippur. You're going to see the idea expressed here, watch this, it's going to blow your mind, okay, watch, God said, you'll see where it's going, okay. The heaven is my throne, v'haretz hadom raglai, and the earth is my footstool. Eizeh bayit asher tivnu li, what kind of house do you think you can build for me? V'eizeh makom menuchati, where do you think that you can make a place where I will come to rest? In this parak, what's going to happen is, first of all, God is going to express, through Yeshayahu, he's expressing, there were those who did not fully perceive the message of Yerushalayim and Bet HaMikdash. Didn't understand it. They thought that, you know, it doesn't make a difference what you do. You come in and you bring your carbon into the Beis HaMikdash. You bring your carbon and that's it. You know, they had begun to see the service in the Bet HaMikdash as just, you know, another, not sure. You can't take the air conditioner. I don't know what to do. Huh? Maybe sit near my wife. Huh? There were those who had begun to see Bet HaMikdash, I would say maybe have taken it for granted, which was of course one of the tragedies of men. We take things for granted. We don't, you know how long we take them for granted? Until they're taken away, until we don't have it. Okay. I don't know what to do. And there were those who took Bet HaMikdash for granted, and by doing that, they lost the meaning and the significance. They didn't comprehend what it was all about. They thought that sacrifice, they had come to see sacrifice as some kind of a magic mumbo jumbo, that all you do is you bring a sacrifice and everything is okay. The relationship between you and God is okay. So he says, what do you think? You think I need your house? You think I need your building? Do you think I have no place where to rest? I have no place where to be? What do you think? Okay. You think I have no place where to be? On the contrary, remember, it was Shlomo HaMelech. When Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash, he said, Who is man that he should build a house for you? Now, can you imagine? Man building a house for God. So God says, I don't need your house. I don't need your house. This was a matter of my showing my love for you that I descended to bring my divine presence there. I have the whole world. I have the whole world. The heavens are my throne. The earth is my footstool. I have it all. You think that you build a house for me and that's enough? It's not that service alone that I want. I want you have to be a match. That kol ela yodi ososa, whatever you see, all of this my hands made. Vayihiyu kol ela, all of these came into being through me. God, vayihiyu through the word yihi. God said, Yehi Or, let there be light. Everything came into being because of me. Ve'el zeh abid. Do you know what I look at? I'm everything. I am the whole world. I am the heavens and I am the earth. I have created everything. And do you know what I really care about? Do you know what I look at? El oni unechei ruach. The one who is poor. The one who's broken in spirit, the chored al devari, and fears my word. This is really the theme. When I said earlier, the Yom Kippur, the Haftar of Yom Kippur, is the theme is that I am shochein ad morom v'kadosh shemo. We say that I'm davening on Shabbat. I am the one who lives and dwells forever. Morom. Moram, raised, uplifted, v'kadosh shemo, and holy is his name. And then he goes on to say, you know, I care about the people who are broken in spirit. Those are the ones who I care about. Saying the same thing over here. And he tells them, you're going to bring sacrifices to me, but the sacrifices are not going to express themselves in your sense of yosher and goodness and dignity. Then it's meaningless. Then you know what it is? Shochei Hashor, the one who slaughters an ox before me, it's like Makeish, like you hit a human being. What do you want from the poor shore? What do you want from the poor shore? Vega Hargat Hashor, and you bring it to me as a sacrifice. Zoveh Hased, the one who slaughters Hashem Salah. If there is no concomitant feeling of piety that expresses itself in your relationship with your fellow man, then your shepsala is like Oreif Kelev, like having taken a dog and chopped it over the head. Male mincha, you bring up before me a carbon mincha, and you think it's some kind of a formal, very formal procedure, and everything is alright, just bring a mincha. You know what it's like to me? If it is not accompanied with goodness, it's dam chazir. It's like you're bringing the blood of a chazir for me. Mazkir levona, the one who brings as a mazkeret, to be remembered before God, he brings the levona, the incense, that comes together with the mincha, but there is no concomitant piety, real fear of God, that again expresses itself in relationship to fellow man. Mevorech oven. It's like a person who's blessing over nothing, blessing sin. You don't make a bracha on an aveira. Shechianu v'kimonu v'giyonu lazman hazeh to do this aveira. You don't bless an aveira. Gam hema bacharu b'darcheihem. They also chose their ways. Their ways being those who simply don't get it. They don't know what Beis HaMikdash really is. They don't know what korban is. By the way, this is also one of the psukim that enter into the great debate over the meaning of sacrifice, and there were those In other words, there are those who say, and let me say in advance, it's Sheker Gomor, there are those who say that the prophets spoke out against sacrifice. And over here, in Yeshayahu, they can have it at the beginning of Yeshayahu and the end of Yeshayahu. Let me just read for you a few psukim in the first chapter of Yeshayahu. In the first chapter, which is the Haftorah for Shabbos Chazon, Lomali Rov Zivchechem Yomar Hashem. If you want to take a look, it's in chapter 1, possibly. Who needs all of your many sacrifices? Savati Ich Bin Shem Zat, I've had enough of Olot Eilim, Vechelet Neviim, Vidam Parim, Uchvasim, Vatudim, Lo Chafatzde, I had enough of the blood of your rams and your Shepsalach and your cows and all the rest. I don't want it. Ki tavolit later upon I, when you come to see my face. Mi bikesh zot miyetchem, who asked this of you, remos chatzeroi, that you trample on my kodya? Lo tosifu havi minchatzav, don't bring any more mincha for nothing. Ketoret, your incense, to evahili. It's an absolute abomination to me. Chodesh v'Shabbos kro mikro Yerush Chodesh and Yerush Shabbos. By the way, you will see the relationship between the first chapter in Yeshayahu and the last chapter. Now all we'll have to do is fit in the middle, you know, finish the middle or something. Yerush Chodesh and Yerush Shabbos kro mikro, you call Yom and Tovim lo uchal, I can't take oven, same word that we had in this pasuk. I can't take oven v'atzora. At the same time, you commit sins. V'atzara means you gather in an atzeret. You come for me, come into my base, Hamigdash and Yantiv, gather in groups. Chodshechem u'ma'adechem sonor nafshi, I hate, my soul hates your Rosh Chodesh in Yom Tovim. Hoyu alay l'torach, they've been a tircha, they've been a trouble for me. Nil 18 is so, I'm tired of carrying it, I had enough of you. This, together with psukim that we can bring from nearly every one of the Nevi'im, used by those who want to differentiate between prophetic Judaism and rabbinic Judaism. Most specifically, this was the concoction of the conservative movement, that the rabbinic Judaism was into all the minutiae of halakha, understand? But prophetic Judaism rejected sacrifice and was concerned about ethics and morality. Absolute nonsense. It can be proven from a thousand places. It simply has no truth to whatsoever. What Yeshayahu is railing against is that you can't be an evil person and think that you're going to come bring sacrifice. I want sacrifice that is going to express itself in your entire personality. It's not a mumbo jumbo, it's not an abracadabra. The open sesame of God's heart to the Jewish people. He wants them both. That's what he's saying. It's back to, you will have noticed that many of the same words, and you'll see more of them coming soon, many of the same words that you have in chapter 1, you have in chapter 56.
How do they do?
66, what?
How do they do when you say Yahoo? Is it the same beginning and end?
If in them gedringen achaya, by what I just now said, you know what I did? You have what I just did. And I just turned Yeshayahu into one sefer. Same themes, same ideas, same words in different way. We don't expect Yeshayahu to repeat himself. From a great prophetic poet, we expect that he will express the same ideas, but in different ways. They also chose their ways, and in their abominations, nafshon chafetza, their souls wanted. They like it this way. Well, you know what? You like it that way. I'm also going to choose to make sport of them. I'm going to mock them. That which they are afraid of, I will bring upon them. Eo says, Vasher Yogorti, that which I was afraid of happened to me. The beginning of Yov, it says that he had seven sons and three daughters, and every day of the week a different son would make a party, and he would invite all of his brothers and sisters. It was one big happy family. And then once a week Eov would bring sacrifices for all of his children, because, you know, when things are just too good, we also get a little frightened. We get a little more than frightened, like, when, at what moment is this bubble going to burst? It's just too good. Wealth and kinder and nachas and you name it. And you get frightened, you get very frightened. And therefore, when everything is taken away from him, so he says, I share your gorki, that which I was afraid of, is precisely what happened. So here, the Navi says, in the name of God, umikudotam, that which they were afraid of deep down. They may not express it. They may be walking around, you know, let's eat and be merry and enjoy, but beneath the surface there lies that fear of what is ahead. Umikudotam avir lehem, and that which they are afraid of, I will bring upon them. Yan, you know why? Because karati ve'en oneh. I called unto them and there's nobody who answers me. Divarti, I spoke, v'lo shomeyu, and they didn't hear. Vayasu hara ve'enai, and they did that which is evil in my eyes. U'basher lo chafatzti b'choru, they chose that which I did not want. Now you see the difference between in chapter 65 we heard, Terem yikro, before they call, I will already answer them. Odom midabrim. That's going to be the ultimate period in history. But at this period in history, no. Because they are not doing that which I wish, therefore, because I called and they didn't answer, when they call, I will not answer. These first four psukim of chapter 66 are a unit on their own, which represent the idea that the Navi had a responsibility to remind the people never to take Mikdash or Korban for granted, and it must be within the context of a growth to real piety and goodness. Now comes second part. Second part is going to be talking to the truly religious. Now he was talking to those who did not comprehend the meaning of Mikdash. Shimu devar Hashem hakaredim el devaro. Hear the word of God, those who tremble before His word. Amru acheichem sonechem, your brothers who hate you. Minadechem, the ones who separate you, keep you in a sense in excommunication, those who look upon you with shame. Leman shmi yichbad Hashem, and they think that it is for my name. God is happy with me. V'nir'e b'simchatchem, you know what's going to happen? Those who are opposed to the God-fearing Jews, v'nir'e b'simchatchem, we will see the joy of the pious Jew, v'hem yevoshu, and they are going to be full of shame. Because you know what's going to happen? There's going to be kol sha'on meir. There's going to be the sound of tumult that coming from the city. Kol meheichal, there will be the sound coming from the temple itself. Kol Hashem, the voice of God, Mishalem Gemul Oivav, who is going to pay his enemies. Mishalem Gemul Oivav, he's going to pay his reward, that is to punish his enemies. There are three voices here. There's something happening in the city. The city, of course, is Yerushalayim. There is something that's happening in the Beis HaMikdash. And then there's a sound come. There is a sound that comes from God. Because as we approach the end, as we approach the end of this long period in history, there will be punishment for the enemies, and most specifically he's going to be talking now, he's going to be moving into the period of the nations of the world coming against Yerushalayim, and someplace outside Yerushalayim they are going to suffer their great defeat. Someplace around Abu Dis, and then Zachariah and Anata, there's going to be the destruction of the enemies. Okay. There are some psukim over here that mamesh shiver me timbers. And certainly when you will see it in the psukim, you're going to hear it in the words of the Malbim. V'terem tochil yolada. Before she had labor pains, she gave birth. Wait, take it easy. Much, much more. I know what to do. We're going to get it. Before there were labor pains, she gave birth. B'terem yavo chevela. Before any chevel is another kind of pain. Give me another word in English for labor pains.
Contract.
Contract. Is that what they use?
No.
No, they don't use that. Well, how do they? Huh?
Travail.
Okay. Travail. That's good. Before there was travail, before she had travail, the himlita zohar. Himlita zohar means she cast out. Out was born a male child. It is. It's used for animals. But you know why the Navi is going to use it here? Because animals give birth with less pain and quicker than humans. And what's he talking about? What's this birth that he's talking about? Listen, I will read the words of the Malbim. And he says that this is referring to the first of the three voices. The first voice is Kol Sha'on Meir. You hear a lot of noise in the city. Listen to what the man wrote over 130 years ago. He says, Kizman Rav Lifnei Biat HaGoel, a long period of time before the coming of the Redeemer, Yidkavtsu HaMashimu Atin, Mipnei HaGola, a few people from the exile are going to gather the Yikvu Diratam BeYerushalayim, and they're going to establish their homes in Yerushalayim. And after many years that this small group have established their homes in Yerushalayim, the labor pains will begin, which is Milchemet Gog u'Magog, the prophetic war that will take place. Then will begin the great ingathering of the exiles. Therefore, he says, "B'terem tochil, before she had laid the pains, your mother, she gave birth." Kvar yia le'ir b'Yerushalayim leido ketano b'terem tochil. Before that great outpouring or incoming of exiles, before the laid the pains, there was already a shtickle birth. There was a community here in Yerushalayim. And not only b'terem tochil before the laid the pains, gam b'terem yavo chevela. You know, I like the word contractions. Chevel comes before chil. Chevel are the contractions that precede the real labor pains. Shalotiya od ha'eid klal shiavo chevela. It doesn't seem as though the time is right for anything to happen. Shehushanim rabos, it's many years before the gula, kfar him lita zachar. Already there's a child. There are people living there. Another way he's going to describe it is the following. He describes that first at some point in history, there are going to be Jews that are going to come to live in Yerushalayim. And then you know what's going to happen afterwards? This is before the labor pains. But you know what's going to happen when the labor pains come? Then there's going to be a rush of Jews coming to Yerushalayim. Meet the land coming to being in one day. In Yivoleit Goy Tamachat, will a nation be born in one single instant? Then you know what's happened? Take a look. Kicholo gam yoldo tzion et bonor. Sion has had the labor pains and given birth to her children, and here it is, all of a sudden, at one point in time, it was a small yeshiva of Jews in Yerushalayim. And all of a sudden, as I say, there are traffic jams in Yerushalayim. There were no traffic jams here for 200 years. When did the yeshiva, the real yeshiva Yehudi of the modern times, beginning in Yerushalayim in 17, Berach in 1776. So she's looking at 1776. Don't shoot them till you see the whites of their eyes. Give me liberty or give me death. Taxation without representation is tyranny. The Talmidei HaBaal Shem and the Talmidei HaGra, their aliyah began in 1776. And there were those who went to live in Tzfat, and there are those who settled in Yerushalayim. And for 200 years, really, Yerushalayim was a small provincial town. Until 50 years ago. And then came the rush. All of a sudden, Yerushalayim became a big city, yes.
According to him, then this war of Gog and Magog already happened.
Ah, I thought somebody would ask that. So you didn't disappoint me. She said, so according to that, the war of Gog and Magog took place already. The question is, does the war of Gog and Magog have to take place in one period of time, or can it be just as the process of Jews returning takes, it is a process over a period of time, there may be different parts of the Milchemet Gog Umagog. Now, let me always remember everything that's going to center around the Yerushalayim. Gog Umagog is going to be the final thrust to capture Yerushalayim. That's described precisely, it's described in Yechezkel 38 and 39. The battle is going to be, it's all, not only there, it's in the fourth chapter of Yoel, that God is going to gather all of the nations of the world around Yerushalayim, and outside of Yerushalayim there's a valley called Emek Yehoshaphat, the valley of judgment. That's where the end is going to come. So it may be, it can extend over a period of time, and you always have to keep one thing in mind. Here, in an understanding of the Nevi'im, it's the way to truly understand it is by hindsight. That's right, Monday morning quarterback. Because the Rambam says that all of these psukim, we will never fully comprehend or know what they mean until they happen. Until they happen. The greatness, of course, of the Maldim is that he, and Yeshayahu, that he is able to see how the process is going to take place. But when it happens, or what it is, we can see only by hindsight. So obviously, if there's a tremendous outpouring of people here, and we don't know yet what the war of Gog and Magog is. I don't know. I don't know what it'll be. We'll have to wait and see. And God says, beautiful. By the way, you always have to remember that when they talk of Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim is, as we will see when we get back to chapter 53, Roni Akora Loyalada. If you want to pull together the threads of Yeshayahu, sing out, you barren one who has not given birth. Who is the one that has not given birth? That is Tzion. She is the Aim Habanim. She is the mother of the children. When her children return, then Aim Habanim Semecha. The mother of the children is Semecha. As long as they are gone, how did the city that's always referred to in the as the mother, how did she survive without her children? Watch. Ha'ani ashbir v'lo olid. Ashbir does not come from mashbir la'tzarchan. Ha'ani Ashbir. Ashbir is what they consider the moment of birth, or the place where the woman gives birth. Ha'ani Ashbir, huh? You're thinking Alha of Noyim that it says in Parashat Shmot. That doesn't help us here. Doesn't help us here. Ashbir, you know what it really comes from? A Mashbir. Not a mashbir, a mashbir. The moment of crisis. The moment of crisis. The moment of birth. Ha'ani ashbir, am I going to bring the mother to the moment of the crisis of birth, v'lo olid, and I'm not going to make sure that she gives birth? Yomar Hashem, says God. Imani ha'molid. I am the one who is making certain that this birth will take place. V'otzarti, am I going to stop it? Amar Elokayev, says God. I brought them to this point, and the nation is going to be born so swiftly, so quickly, as though born in one day. Yes.
Isn't one of the keys that Hashem keeps in his hand, he doesn't get to know Malach?
Very nice. Very nice. The Gemara says, I'll tell you, when it's nice, I tell you what it is. Yeah. The Gemara says that there are three keys that God never gave to anyone. It's the beginning of Masechet Taanit. Three keys. And one of the keys, there's the key of Tchiyat HaMeitin, the key, and rain, Parnasa, the Gemara says rain and Parnasa, and the key to birth, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is the one who opens the womb of the Peterechem. If this hasn't been emotional enough, now it's quite clear that Yeshayahu here has been describing the period of time in which we live. There is no doubt about it. A people that is born, for all intents and purposes, in one moment of time, in such a brief period of time. I don't think the Six-Day War was as great as most probably the 6 years of Jews pouring into to Eretz Yisrael. Simchu et Yerushalayim, Simchu et Yerushalayim, Vegilu ba kol ohaveha. Be happy with Yerushalayim, make Yerushalayim happy. Vegilu ba. So now, what words are we using? Simcha and Gila. Gila, as we said, is the external burst of joy, but not only the external burst of joy, there's going to come the period of Simchu at Yerushalayim. Kol ohavel, all who love her. Sisu itom asos, we have all three words in this pasuk. Sason, Gila, and Simcha. Sisu itom asos, be full of joy with her. Kol hamit ablim aleha, all who mourn for her. There's a very beautiful, famous Gemara in Bava Basra that says the following. Kol hamit abel a Yerushalayim, whoever mourns for Yerushalayim, zocheh v'ro'eh b'simchatah, is going to be zocheh to see the joy of Yerushalayim. Rav Kook, the first Rav Kook, asked famous question. What do you mean, kol hamit abel a Yerushalayim, whoever mourns for Yerushalayim is going to be zocheh to see its simcha? What are you talking about? What it should have said is zocheh v'ro'eh b'binyah. Nah, you know what you're going to see? You will see the construction of Yerushalayim. Kol hamit abel al Yerushalayim, whoever mourns Yerushalayim will be zeichet to see the binyan Yerushalayim. So he said the following. There can be two people watching the construction of a building. You know, I think in New York they already have these, these windows, peepholes that you can look through, you know, someplace downtown Manhattan where they're building another 100-story skyscraper, and you know, you stick your nose up against the window pane and you can see what's going on. Everybody wants to see. So he says, when Yerushalayim is going to be rebuilt, there are going to be two kinds of people who will view this construction of Yerushalayim. That one of them is going to be the sidewalk superintendent, not his building. So curiosity, he sees it. Has no impact on his neshama, it means nothing to him. But the one who mourned for Yerushalayim is going to see not only the construction, but zoche v'roe b'simchata. He's going to see the joy. For somebody else, it's going to be, no, he sees it, and I can't find it. I always quote my father, Lo Hashon, who was once in a hotel over here, and some hotshot dude came flying into the hotel from Chutzlaritz, and he tells my father he's going to the Kaisel, and then he comes back from the Kaisel, so my father asks him, no, what was the experience like? So he said, Shigivain Adam, the Olivant, who's a war like all other wars. So there are two kinds of Jews. There's one who's Zeche Vireya Avant, and there's one who's Zeche to see the Kotel. Yes?
I thought he was going to say, what do you mean? Jews have been mourning Yerushalayim for God knows how many years, and they did not joke it.
That's another question that you're asking. In other words, how does the Gemara say, Kol HaMetabel Al Yerushalayim Zoche V'Roe B'Simchata? So maybe, so again, I'll just off the cuff, I'll say maybe Priyas HaMeisim.
That's a great
house. I got to do another few psukim. Leman Tink. But by the way, you know where there's a similar idea that's expressed? Svidas HaOmer, we're in the period of Svidas HaOmer. So it says, Usvartem Lachem, Sheva Shabbosos Tamimos Tiyeno, you should count unto yourself 7 weeks. What do you mean, Usvart Lachem? So the Gemara says, Shetehe Svido Lekol Echad Ve'Echad, everybody has to count. No, there are other mitzvahs. I can make Kiddush, and you can answer Amen, and you go to the Kiddush. But if I say, Hayom such and such number of days, what is it today? Today's 13?
13.
If I say, Hayom Shlosha San, you listen to me, you're not going to be Yotzi. You have to count for yourself. So I remember, coming back to me years ago, Rav Zevin said, said the following. There's value, something that is counted, Dovar HaSofur VaHamonui, has value. That which is counted. You don't count things that don't have value. Now, there are things that you will, for example, there are things that you will sell by weight. When you sell something by weight, so it means the individual object does not have value, but its value is in its quantity. You buy a kilo of tomatoes, right? Then there are other things, I imagine, that are a watermelon. A watermelon. You know? I can buy a watermelon. A watermelon is... don't anybody disagree with me. I love watermelons, so please, don't disagree. All right. See, says the following, Usfartim lechem, you should count unto you even something of value. There can be two ways of counting it. There's the bank teller who counts money, and there's the person who counts his own money. Now we hope and we assume that the bank teller is counting it as though it's not his own money, which means therefore, as far as he's concerned, or so it should be, he could be counting anything in the world, pieces of paper. It's not his. It's not Lachem. So it has no meaning for him aside from the counting. Somebody who's counting his own money, or it does that have meaning, or does that have significance? Uspartem the mitzvah svira uspartem Lachem. Everybody has to count because it's yours. Each one of these days is precious. Time is precious. And the mitzvah svira is in order to point out the extent to which time has great value. Because our problem is, I don't know, this has gone back so many years, we have so many words by which we describe the march of time. We mark time, we kill time, we spend time, we waste time. Wait, I don't want the positive, I want the negative right now. Yeah, we kill time, oh that's very good. Time aside, huh? We pass time. That's right, very good. That's when you don't see time as lachem, being something that is yours and of value. The mitzvah of Usfartim Lachem is you should see every moment of time as yours and valuable. I believe it's the same idea that is expressed with regard to Yerushalayim. If Yerushalayim is a city like all other cities, and for that matter it may be less of a city than other cities, and if the Kaisel is Avam, the Olivant, the wall like other walls, and it's not Lachem, you don't feel the sense of this is your Yerushalayim and your Kotel. So obviously you're not going to see any great joy in Binyan Yerushalayim. Of course you're not going to see Zocha Berol B'Simchav. You're going to see Binyan and no, everybody can see a Binyan. Everybody can see. Completely different story. Okay, we're moving ahead. By the way, we're going to go, there's no other class coming after this, and we started about 5-6 minutes late, so we'll just hang in another few minutes. Leman tinku u'tsevaten, you will nurse from the description of a child nursing usavatem, and you will be sated, mishod tanchumeha, from the breast of her consolation. Yerushalayim is going to be a source of consolation to the Jewish people. Laman tamotsu, not only will you nurse, but you will sort of, you know, like, take out, you know, to the last drop, the consolation of Yerushalayim. Vihitanagtem, you will be full of pleasure, miziz kivoda, from all of the movement and all of that that's going to take place as her honor and her glory is restored. Kichor Hashem, because so says God, Hinini notei leho k'nohar shalom, I am going to incline and move to her, peace is going to flow toward Yerushalayim like a river. The Rebbe Shem is the one who's going to do it. U'kenachal shoteif, like a river that is overflowing, Kvod Goyim, will come the honor that you will receive from nations of the world, v'yenaktem, and you will nurse, you will live from it. Al tzad tinaseu, you will be carried like a child, at the side, you know, hold a child, v'al birkayim, and on the lap, to sho'o sho'u, you, they will play with you. We're not talking about Clinton saying that he's waiting for Barack to come because, you know, as a new toy he's going to play with. We're talking about the sense of love that will come from the nations of the world, that will be real. This pasuk, of course, is the most powerful of them all. Ki ish asher imo tenachamenu, like a man who is consoled by his mother, kein onochi anachemchem, so I will be the one who will console you. And do you know where the ultimate consolation will be? Ubi Yerushalayim tenuchamu, and in Yerushalayim you will be consoled. The consolation of the Jewish people is going to begin here. Uri'item, you're going to see it. Vesos lipchem, and your hearts will be full of joy. Va'atzmoteichem kadeshe tifrachta. I believe what the Navi is saying is a happy person is a healthy person, and therefore if you're happy, va'atzmoteichem, your bones kadeshe tifrachna, like the grass, it's going to come bursting out in bloom. V'noda yad Hashem et avodav v'zoham et oivav. In the ultimate end, there's going to be reward for the good and there's going to be punishment for the evil. The hand of God will know his servants, v'zo'am et oivav, and will pour out anger upon his enemies. And v'noda means not only to know, we've always said that the word noda also means to love. He will love his servants. Ki hine Hashem ba'esh yavo, at that end of history, God is going to come in fire. V'chasufo mar kivotav, his chariots are going to come like a storm, like a tempest. L'hashiv b'chema apo, to bring with wrath his anger. V'gar ato, and his kaz, the lahavei esh, is going to come with flames of fire. Ki bo'esh Hashem nishbat, because God judges with fire. That's the term that's used also by Yoel, that we know, nobody knows that the pasuk comes from Yoel. Dam v'esh v'timrot Hashem, we say it in Haggadah, it's a pasuk in Yoel. It talks about HaKadosh Baruch Hu judging the nations of the world. U'becharbo, he will judge with his sword at Kol Basar, all flesh. V'rabu chalalei Hashem, and there are going to be many who will fall by the hand of God. Evil is going to be eradicated. And ultimately, That's the only way that men will ultimately see that there will be justice in the world. Hamitkachin v'hamitahadim al haganot, those who sanctify and pure themselves in the gardens, achar batavech, after that which is in the middle. What he's describing over here is there were gardens in which they worshipped idols, and someplace in the middle of the garden, I don't know, there was a statue, a Madonna, and those who go out into the gardens in order to sanctify and purify, Ochlei besar hachazir. And you know what they are? They think at the same time that they do that, they are also ochlei besar hachazir. Those who eat chazir, v'hasheketz, and the abomination, v'ha'achbar, and what a mouse, a rat. Yachdav yosufu nu'um Hashem. Together they will all be destroyed, so says God. And now he's describing an evil, a rejection of God and everything that he commands. V'anochi, and I, ma'aseim, their deeds, u'machshavoteim, and their thoughts. Bo'or, the time has come. I know their deeds and their thoughts. The time has come, l'kabeitzet kol ha'goyim v'alishonot, all nations and all tongues, u'bo v'ro et kvodi. They're going to come and they're going to see my honor here in this city. The santi behemot. Now many of the Farshim say that what this is talking about is God is going to bring the enemies of Israel to Yerushalayim, and they're all going to join to surround the city and get ready for the last assault, and then they are going to be destroyed utterly at the gates of Yerushalayim. However, some are going to remain, and they are going to remain in order to bring the word to the rest of the world. The santi behem ot, I'm going to place a sign on them. The shilachti mehem pleitim alavim, I'm going to have those who will be the pleito, the remnants, I will send them out to the nations, to Tarshish, to Pul, to Lud, those who were Moshe Keshet, those who drew the bow, I'm going to send them out to Tuval and to Yavon, Ho'im Harachokim, and they're going to go out to the furthest islands, Ashalo Shamuet Shimi, those who never heard about me, Velo Roet Kvodi, those who never saw my glory, Vihigidu et Kvodi Bagayim, they are going to tell the nations of the world my honor. There will be those who will remain, and they're going to bring the word to the whole rest of the world, exactly what happened to the enemies of Israel and Yerushalayim at the very gates of Yerushalayim. Vehevil et kol achechem mikol hagoyim min chol Hashem. And you know what's going to happen? Goyim are indeed going to start coming to Yerushalayim. Vehevil, and they will bring kol achechem, their brothers are going to come from all over the world, mikol hagoyim, from all the nations. They're going to bring min chol Hashem, a korban mincha to Hashem, and they're going to come. Now, two pshat in the first. First, that goyim are simply going to come, and you're going to see right away, they're going to come to Yerushalayim to pay homage to God, and they're going to bring Jews all over the world. They're going to bring them back. Basusim, with horses, barechev, with chariots, batsabim. Sabim are covered wagons. No, here it's covered wagons. In Parshat Naso, ubapirodim, prodim are donkeys or mules. Ubakir karot, kir karot. So according to one pshat, it's Kirkara is a coach. Al har kodesh Yerushalayim, to my holy mountain Yerushalayim, Amar Hashem, says God. Kashi yovil b'nei Yisrael ha-mincha b'kli tor beit Hashem, just as Klal Yisrael is going to bring the mincha. In other words, they're going to come, they're going to bring Jews here, and they're going to watch Jews bring the mincha before God. V'gam ehem ekach v'kohanim la'levim, Amar Hashem, from the Jews are going to come, I will know who are going to be the kohanim, who will be the levim, and they will serve before me. Ki kasher ha-shamayim ha-chadoshim v'eretz ha-chadoshim, this is what we talked about at the beginning of the chapter, and this is what we talked about in chapter 65, that there will be this new heaven and this new earth, asher ani oseh, that I will make, omdin lefanai num Hashem, will stand before me, says God, kein yamud zarachem v'shimchem, just like this new heaven and this new earth will remain forever, so Klal Yisrael will remain forever. I nearly made it. V'hoyle midei chodesh v'chodsho, month by month, umidei shabbat v'shabbato, Shabbos by Shabbos, yavo kol basar, all flesh will come, l'ishtachavot lefanai, to bow before me, amar Hashem, says God. The Yotzu, I'm going to give you some homework. The Yotzu V'ro, and you know what? When they come to Yerushalayim to see, to bow down before God, you know what they're going to see outside of Yerushalayim? Outside of Yerushalayim, they're going to see the bodies of those who attempted to destroy Yerushalayim. The Yotzu, and they will go out V'ro, and they will see Figrei Ha'anoshim, the bodies of the people, Ha'poshim Bi, who rebelled against me, Ki Tola Atam Lo Tamut, the worms that will eat them will not die. V'isham lo tirben, the fire that consumes them will not go out. V'hoyu deraon l'chol basar, they will be a shame for all flesh. In other words, the enemies of Israel are going to be destroyed by the gates of Yerushalayim. And when Goyim come up here to pay homage to God, they're going to see it. Of course, we don't end Sefer Yeshayahu that way, just as we will not end the Haftarah that way. Of course, it's a horrible pasuk. So we repeat the next to last pasuk again. Of course, everybody asks, what does it mean that every Shabbos and every Rosh Chodesh, all the Goyim are going to come? What are you talking about? So the Malbim explains that Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh, there will be different groups of Goyim. Every Shabbos, there will be another group. The Japanese will come one Shabbos, the Germans will come next Shabbos, the Austrians will come next Shabbos, the Americans will come in for Rosh Chodesh. If they better get their seats on El Al, you understand, can't be sure about Tower. So V'hoyam Yidei Chodesh, B'chotcho Yidei Shabbos, B'Shabbato, they're going to come Le'ishtachavot L'fanai, to bow down before me. An amazing, beautiful, beautiful parak. It means, therefore, that what the Haftarah is telling us is that Rosh Chodesh speaks of the great renewal, the great new heaven and the great new earth, and all of that is going to revolve around this city in which we live. And all of the narishkeit and the nonsense that they think of today will be bottle of vutles, will be nothing afro d'ara. A guten Shabbos, a guten Rosh Chodesh, and a happy Yom Ha'atzma'ot. I think we're the last ones that are going to be celebrating Yom Ha'atzma'ot until everybody does, I understand. We're religious Zionists. Okay.